All right, let's thank the singers for such a great job. And let's start turning in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. This was what a great way to start the year. We are going to begin our series today on faith. And there's no better way to start 2017 than sinking our teeth into the idea of faith. So in Matthew chapter 9, if we could turn there, it says, while Jesus in verse 18 was saying this, a ruler came and knelt before him and said, my daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live. Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter, he said, your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed from that moment. A few verses down in verse 27, it says, as Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, have mercy on us, son of David. When he had gone indoors, the blind man came to him and asked them, do you believe that I am able to do this? Yes, Lord, they said. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith will it be done to you. And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, see that no one knows about this. But they went out and spread the news about him all over that region. You know, when you think about these three individuals, the woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, and these two men who were blind, you know, they had this encounter with Jesus, and Jesus completely changed their situation. And I believe that this was probably the most transformative moment in the lives of these individuals. Now, we may not be able to relate to their physical conditions, but I think some of us can relate to the sense of hopelessness, you know, that the woman must have felt to have this physical ailment for this long and to be trying so hard to rid herself of this ailment without success. I think that we can relate to just this feeling of despair from the blind men. We don't know how they became blind, but the fact is that no one can really heal someone who's blind, especially back then. I mean, it's like, if you're blind, that's it. And yet, Jesus comes into their lives and completely transforms their situation. And by transformative, what do I mean? An event that they would never forget. An event that takes you from a negative place to a very positive one. And this event, these three individuals would always associate with Jesus. Because if anyone asked them, well, how were you healed from your bleeding? Or how did you come to the point where you were once blind and you could see? The person that they would remember would be Jesus. You got to ask yourself, what was the most transformative moment in your life? Think about that. What was the most transformative moment in your life? And is Jesus the central person responsible for that transformation? You know, one of the things that we see here in this passage is the necessity of personal faith. Jesus told the woman, take heart, daughter, your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you. And to the man afflicted with the blindness, he said, according to your faith, it will be done to you. And when we read these passages, one of the things that we should realize is that these three individuals were not just some docile or passive participants in the whole activity. They had to have personal faith in order for that transformation to take place. And as Christians today, we've got to realize that my faith, our faith as individuals, is critical to our transformation. I can't rely on the faith of other people. Man, I love my wife. She's an awesome woman of God, but her faith can't transform me. You with me here? I love Cedric and Denton and all the brothers and sisters, but your faith can't transform me. I'm going to go see my dad in a few days. His faith can't control me or can't transform me. We all have to have individual faith. And there are people who go to church for years and they think that the faith of their parents is good enough or the faith of other people is good enough. But we got to understand what Jesus is looking for is our personal faith in Him. Personal faith is so important in this journey of faith. But the question that we have to ask ourselves is, okay, well, what really is faith? What is it? Can we define it precisely, please? Can we get an accurate definition of what faith is? You know, there are a lot of popular notions out there in the world about faith. Muhammad Ali, here's what he said. It's lack of faith that make people afraid of meeting challenges. And I believe in myself. Bruce Lee. Come on, man. Enter the Dragon. One of my favorite, all-time favorite. Here's what Bruce Lee said. Always be yourself. Express yourself. Have faith in yourself. Do not go out and look for a successful personality and duplicate it. That's what Bruce Lee said. You may have heard about this guy, Norman Vincent Peale. He was a very popular preacher and positive thinker. And here's what he said. He said, believe in yourself. Have faith in your abilities. Without a humble but reasonable confidence in your own powers, you cannot be successful or happy. And when we think about these notions, there's a part of us that hear what Mr. Peale said and Mr. Bruce Lee said and Mr. Ali and go, that sounds pretty good, right? Right? Believe in yourself, right? I mean, these are the ideas that are in people's minds about what faith really is. But the question we have to ask ourselves is, is this Jesus' idea of faith? When the woman came up to touch him, did he turn to her and say, woman, believe in yourself? When the two blind men were saying, Lord, help us, did he say to them, believe in your own abilities, you don't need me? And so, obviously, when Jesus was having these interactions, the notion of their faith didn't necessarily have anything to do with their abilities. And in fact, here's where we can be easily distorted in our thinking about what real faith truly is. I'm talking about the faith that Jesus spoke about in the scriptures. That's what we're here for. We're here to find out what faith is according to the Bible, not according to what's popular. And I think that many of us may have an idea of faith, but the question is it the right idea you have in your head right now? Because if you don't have the right idea of faith, you're going to end up being disappointed. You're going to end up feeling so discouraged and so disheartened. Because you're going to find yourself being disappointed over and over and over again because you have a worldly or popular notion of what faith is. And if we're going to understand, if we're going to truly understand faith the way Jesus intended, then we've got to be willing to let go of the misconceptions that may already exist in our minds. We got to understand that there's a lot of positive thinkers out there. But there's a difference between a positive thinker and a man or woman of faith. There's a big difference. And if we can't tell the difference, then boy, we're in trouble. Because we can confuse optimism with faith. And there's a huge difference. Because no matter how optimistic the blind men were, no one could help them. And so as men and women striving to be men and women of faith, we've got to have a clear understanding of faith. And where do we go to get that clear understanding of faith? We go to the Bible. All right? We go to the Bible. Okay? The internet can't help you with your faith. Anybody can put stuff on the internet to make you feel good about yourself. The source, the genuine source of our faith comes from the Word of God. And in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 1 and 2, it says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." This is what the ancients were commended for. Right there. That gives you an idea of what faith really is. Being sure of what we hope for. And being certain of the things that we do not believe. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, what did the woman hope for? What did she hope for? She hoped to be healed. And she said it in her own thinking in Matthew 9. She said, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." This is very important. If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. And what her hope was, it was founded on the cloak of Jesus. Her faith in the fact that if I can touch his cloak, that's all I need, and I'll be healed. Now, there are a lot of other men around there who had cloaks. There was Peter, Andrew, John. She said, "I don't want to touch those guys' cloaks." Jesus' cloak. That's all I need. If I can only touch the cloak of Jesus. That's what she hoped for. You know, we live in an age where people peddle hope all the time. You know, I was going to a Bible study on Friday, and I saw this big sign. They do this so well. $94 million. Lottery. Could be your turn to win. You know, whenever I go past those signs, I always think, you know, what if? I mean, don't you think? I mean, what if I dreamt the right number? And what if I just went in and just put a dollar or two down and I came home and told my wife, "Honey, I won $94 million. Man, I'd be the most amazing husband. We'd be paying off school fees and going on vacations, and I could do no wrong." And that's the, that's right, give to the Lord. That's right. We could buy a building. Thank you. Thank you. We could buy a building. We could buy a frat, maybe. And that's the kind of hope that's held out by the world, right? But you know, I tell you, I'm here to tell you, I've played lotto many times. I've never won the jackpot. I've won about $2. I won a couple dollars the other day. I still got to go collect my ticket. I didn't have the energy to go collect my $2. But the hope that's in that lottery is hope for just one person or a group of people who just get lucky. But for millions of other people who play lotto, they're getting shafted. But as long as you keep holding out that hope, that's what draws people in. And so sometimes we can confuse that false hope or that selective hope of the world with the hope of the Scriptures.
And sometimes if you don't know the difference, we can feel like we're getting shafted here by God. Because I believed, and my life is not turning out the way I wanted it to turn out. How come Randy went steady before me, Lord? I wasn't going to say it, Lord. I wasn't going to think it, but how is it that she went steady before me? I've been here longer, Lord. Lord, when I married that woman, I had hopes. Oh, my gosh. I've been shafted by the church. I've been shafted. You know, be careful. Because there's a difference between hope and faith and just worldly optimism. This woman hoped that all I need to do is touch his cloak. That's it. The blind man, they said, we believe that you can save us. Not them Pharisees and Sadducees, not the high priest. We believe you have the ability to save us. And Jesus says, according to your faith, it will be done. And so the kind of hope that's written about in Hebrews chapter 11 is a hope centered on the person of Jesus. That's hope. See, if we understand this, we'll be able to tell the difference between hope and optimistic thinking. Because when I saw that $94 million jackpot, I said, did Jesus promise me that? Answer, no. So I walked on by. And I went to a Bible study because that's what the Lord wanted me to do. Not wasting my time spending my little dollar on a false hope. I had the Lord's work to get done. Hope centered on the person of Jesus. And in this woman's mind, she's thinking, I don't need to touch anyone else's cloak. Jesus' cloak is all I need. And I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, is your hope this morning centered on the person of Jesus? Or are you looking to the left, looking to the right, and wondering who's getting what? What you're not getting? How come this person's getting more than me? Are you looking around, comparing yourself with other people? Or are you rooted in your hope that Jesus has got your back? And some of us, we may be unable to clearly answer that question. That's because in our minds, our idea of faith has been distorted. There's been a lot of talk about the Russians hacking into the Democratic National Congress's emails, right? A lot of talk about being hacked. And it is concerning, obviously, that a foreign government is hacking into, you know, anyone's, any political party's email. But the Democrats are not the only one getting hacked. Someone's hacking into our faith. So someone hacked into your faith and put some malware in there and said, listen, we gonna make you think about optimism instead of faith. And that's why some of us are walking around discouraged and sad, because the things we were looking for, the things we were optimistically hoping for, didn't happen. And so we, as Christians, we're so blessed. We've been blessed by Jesus. We've been forgiven of our sins. We can look forward to eternity with Jesus, but we walk around discouraged because of our present circumstances. You see, that's not faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus is hope centered on the person of Christ and on what he is going to offer you. So our theme for 2017 is by faith. By faith. We want to take hold of the faith that Jesus speaks of in the scriptures. A faith that changes minds and transforms hearts. A faith not centered on self, but a faith centered on Christ. A faith centered not on my feelings or emotions, but a faith centered on the enduring truth of Christ's word. We're excited about this journey we're embarking on. We're going to be studying the entire book, entire chapter of Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be going back to the Old Testament to see that faith is not just for the ancients, but it's for the moderns as well. And there were different men and different women who experienced different circumstances. They were completely different. But what joined them all together was their faith in the Word of God and in God's promises. If you're visiting, join us. Keep on coming back. Come along with us and learn with us as we figure out how we can take hold of the faith that transforms our lives. Amen.